Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, and welcome to another epic episode 126 of the rogue, the infamous, the legendary Von Wehhunt Show. It's our Halloween show special tonight, so it will be extra spooky, gothic, and rogue. The start date of October 27th, 2022 AD. Well, the Halloween parties will be raging across America tomorrow night all the way to Monday night, which is Halloween. So keep your head on a swivel. We don't know what is going to happen. And I mean that. If you're a parent, check your kids' candy for any fentanyl or any other cartel drugs that made it into the candy supply. Wouldn't even put it past the country. There could be some vandalism. Some of the hooligans will be out. Criminal activity will probably run rampant. There could be some shootings, some stabbings, all kind of mayhem out there in the streets of America, or the mean streets, if you live in the wrong neighborhood. Wow. Well, on this show, we will not turn our backs on the Halloween weekend. The torch has been passed to this show. This is cult radio like no other. Pirate radio at its best, America. As I broadcast each week from my mountain stronghold here in Arizona, I am the Germanic warlord of the airwaves. And we are here for you, America, at your service. Well, in this life, the lies of our government, corporate America, militant Democrats everywhere, they will become easy prey, and the truth will destroy and crush them one by one. Well, have you seen this thing on all over the news last few days? Like a scene from a Hollywood horror movie. This crazy demonic-looking woman in Pasadena, California, striking a house with a pickaxe. Just a few days ago, she looked satanic, possessed. The assaults in our society are becoming more and more like medieval warfare out there. We will talk about that incident and many others on the Von Wehhunt Show tonight, my good friends. We will see where the conversation goes, being our Halloween show special tonight. Now, you see these crime things, all kinds of stories. Who needs guns when you've got pickaxes, torches, knives, machetes, hammers, power drills? You see more and more criminals not even using guns. It's barbaric warfare, medieval, ancient. It's how wars used to be fought. Now, my show, we've talked about this before, this trend, if you will. It's a bad trend. It's a dangerous trend. It's not one that I promote or that I want, but we will talk about it. A lot of people are losing their minds and going berserk, going crazy. They're being skinned alive at work, at play. Inflation's creeping up on their wallet and their purse. Their money has gone down the drain about 25% to 27% drop on 401ks, depending on who you talk to. It's all over the board. Americans are tired of being broke. Don't blame them. But the least little thing will just set them off. You see this in traffic with the, you know, the road rage everywhere. Cut somebody off by one inch, they go nuts. It's the straw that breaks the camel's back, if you will. My show, we talked about this many, many times, that the more tense and intense society gets over money, jobs, borders, economy, the diversity, multiculturalism of millions of invaders from the third world being shoved down your throat, shoved into your town, your city, all it does is it increases stress, tension, makes people angry. The left thinks that you'll all hold hands, enjoy being broke, and sing kumbaya with your new neighbors from Somalia or Ghana or wherever they're from. It's not how people are. But this tension out there in our society is going to blow up. We're seeing symptoms of it now. We have a lot to talk about tonight, rest assured. The Democrats are losing their collective hive minds over patriots watching the ballot boxes all over the nation. God forbid, right? I call that patriotism involves citizens and election integrity. But they call it, you'll notice in every mainstream news show, talking head on TV, they call it intimidation. Interesting choice of words. Now, if you want clean elections, you don't want mules dumping 20, 30,000 votes at these mail-in ballot boxes, it's now intimidation. And you're probably a Nazi and a deplorable for wanting clean elections. How dare you, America? How dare you want that? Why, you're supposed to lay down. Let the militant Democrat and the leftists just run over you. Because in their mind, they've been anointed and appointed as your rulers. Don't you get it? They've been told that they have a right to rule over you and me and everyone else. Well, some say that parts of our country have been invaded with foreign enemy combatants, waiting for the magic word to attack the inside of the country and fly over country. Well, we hope on my show this never, ever happens. But be prepared any way it goes, my good friends, because the jackals, as a lion knows on the African safari, are always at your door, America. The jackals, the hyenas, they nip at our food in our neighborhoods. They cause trouble. They come in where they're not invited. They don't live in your neighborhood, yet they want to cruise through there and look to see what they can get into. Maybe they'll open up a car door handle, try a gate, try a front door. And they don't stop there. These people are deranged. But they feel they're entitled to what you have. The jackals and the hyenas will only grow in our society in this controlled demolition, year by year, step by step, we seem to be descending, if you will, from what Reagan promised us, that shining city on a hill. We're walking down the mountain to the ravine, and then the ditch, and then the abyss. I will tell you everything's rosy out there when it's not. I'd be lying to you. You listen to the show because you want to hear truth. You're tired of all the banter on TV. You're tired of all the jackals and hyenas on your evening news and the jackasses in both parties that don't seem to do your bidding, America. Well, we welcome to all of our listeners all over the world our Halloween theme show special tonight. Can you imagine it's already almost Halloween and we're going into 2023 very soon? My God, this year has flown by. But what is even more scary is that the evil blood-sucking vampires and parasites, they're out there and they live among us. And we do live in the Twilight Zone, my friends. And if that isn't really scary enough to you, all you need to know, America, is this. Get this. I did some research, and right now we have 19,000 border agents and 175,000 armed IRS agents. We have 8 times as many agents to target American citizens than to target the invasion and the drug cartels coming over our southern border. This is all you need to know going forward, my fellow patriots. These are things that you sit back, and they sound so outrageous. They just make you go, Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Coming to a town or city near you and me very soon. The government is going broke over time. Now, they will deny that as they raise your confiscatory tax rates, which is coming, by the way. The big balloon payment for all this debt is coming, trust me. And they will be needing billions more in taxes just for them to stay afloat. They will look after themselves first and foremost. Not you, not your family, not your children, not your pet, not your home. And this is not what the founding fathers ever intended for us either. They did not want us to live like this. But it makes sense, doesn't it, when I put two and two together, why they're busting up the seams to get all these young, new, the fresh crop of IRS agents armed, trained, and ready. Because they want to get them in the system and get them acclimated for when the new tax bills come down the pike and 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, where they raise your rates to 50, 60, 70% to pay for the entitlements, or at least the next decade, they'll be ready for any quote-unquote, you know, sovereign taxpayers, God forbid, or any tax rebellion. It's coming, I'm telling you. Went to a financial seminar this past week, and a quick sidebar is, back in the 1930s, when Social Security was started, there were 18 American taxpayers working full-time to take care of one person on the program in retirement. Guess what it is today in 2022? Well, I'll tell you. It is 2.5. 2.5 people who are working, actively working, are now supporting one person in retirement. Amazing, huh? That's where we're at. That's a fact. The facts are that all you need to know how your government views you, America, is your borders will be invaded. Your money they will attempt to confiscate at gunpoint if need be by government-trained agents if you don't comply with the much higher tax codes that are coming down the pike. You will not have a say in the matter until the whole draconian system someday implodes, God forbid, under its own hubris and weight. That's where we're at tonight on the Halloween show special. We're glad you're here. Oh, yes, sound, the music of our ancestors in Europa and elsewhere. Well, as I said on this show before, if you're not preparing, if you're not getting ready, then you're not paying attention. Now, this Pennsylvania race everyone's talking about between Fetterman and Oz, what my big question is, is there a mental disease like what we saw in that Pennsylvania Senate race in the debate involving Fetterman, whereby the Democrats flip all sanity and common sense, and they say and do the exact opposite of what the people want and even desire. Seems to be that way. People say they want no inflation, they get more. They want no more invasion at the border, they get millions and millions more. They want no war with Russia. Biden's taunting Russia daily, and he is. It's not all Putin's fault. He is at fault for invading Ukraine, but it takes two to tango. And NATO and Biden are right there, poking the red bear. And I shudder to think if the Russian bear ever really just said to hell with it and attacked. I think NATO would completely freak out. Well, there are many enemies of America. We have many out there all over the world. And I have news for our enemies. We know you're listening in the night, and you're in intelligentsia. So your police units, your communist bunkers, North Korea and China, possibly Vietnam. You're wondering about the will of America. You're wondering about, do we have steel in our will and our national character or not? You're plotting to invade us. You're plotting to install more Bidens in the future. weakness from within. Well, I would say the news for our enemies is that America will not go quietly into the night. America has always been, from the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812, and elsewhere, it's where tyrants come to die. In the good book, Ezekiel writes, "The enemy's movements are easier to predict when one knows the enemy will advance towards anything they can plunder." Very fitting for tonight's show, because our enemies of America do want to plunder America. They want to plunder our lands and covet them. Now, while all this is going on, meanwhile, while Red Communist China plots to take over our country, and they are, they train actively in Canada and Mexico, right next door. And while there is certainly enemies within our nation, the training continues either way it goes. So I always say, stay heavily armed and ready, America. It's what our mass media has failed to report to you folks is that Russian bombers were caught off the coast of America on the Atlantic side just a few days ago. A test run, if you will, a beta test. Have you heard that in the national news? Of course not. They put the veil over your eyes. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that Russia and Putin is testing America's defenses and that of NATO. But we'll tell you on my show. Now, we talked about this in the last few shows. And as you know, the former boss of the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing was forcibly removed from a major CCP meeting last week. And also in breaking news, four more regions in the Ukraine are now holding secession referendums to join Russia. Mighty, mighty Russia. They're drinking lots of vodka over there. The crazy Ivans are in control. And if you think you can predict what they're going to do, you've been listening to too much mainstream media news. You do not know what the crazy Ivans are going to do or not do. The sin of omission, right? All that has been underreported in our American media, which is just terrible for the most part. There is much talk of a dirty nuclear bomb going off in Ukraine, and it may be used to blame Russia and to usher in World War III, God forbid. This stuff is getting very real, folks, day by day. And there was also this past week an explosive laden drone that was detected and that was found crashed near the Nord Stream pipeline in the Atlantic Ocean. There's a lot of things that are going on out there. Intrigue on the high seas. Intrigue between nations. Spyware. Spycraft. Nuclear threats almost weekly from Beijing and Moscow. We have Biden, the installed president, who doesn't know what he's doing. Well, that's why you come to the show. This is our church session every Thursday night. The prelude to Halloween. Stay safe out there, America. It's about to get real. Oh, yes. Well, on my show, I strongly believe that people have the right to express themselves and to think freely. This is your First Amendment show. We will not hold you down or censor you. But it's also apparent that most shows are not like that. Have you checked out other radio shows? Many of you have. You barely get on the show and they kick you off. A microsecond. If you talk about anything that's considered not RNZ talking points or a little bit controversial. It's also apparent that the powers that be are sending a message to anyone out there in Radio Land or America who questions the what's called the, quote, official narrative. Now, many TV and radio shows and newspapers out there, all across the fruited plain, are controlled opposition, if you don't know that already, and contrived to get you to think a certain way. I want you to think for yourself. We're not telling you what to think. If we think if you analyze things and use your critical thinking skills, which they don't teach now in our schools, I think many of you will come to my point of view and my world vision of the world. But we want things to be better. But you got to talk about the positive and the negative equation to really get the full view. Even in space, it's great to talk about the cosmos, but astrophysicists will talk about black holes, wormholes, space debris, negative things, maybe very evil alien beings that are not benign or benevolent. Maybe they don't want Earth to exist. Malevolent. Who knows? On these other shows, they always have your news pre-washed and sanitized. Most Americans like it like that. I always say ignorance is bliss, right? And I've always said that this show is not, I repeat, not for everyone, for good reason. Because we are the radio elite. And if you find the show too hard for your sensitive, delicate ears, too harsh perhaps for your public school mentality, too edgy or too sharp for your brainwashed and programmed feeble mind to handle, I get it, man. I get you. I get it more than you will ever know. Because you are a product of the public school system and its corruption. And maybe even the MK Ultra government media brainwashing that has taken place in this country for many, many decades now. And then you should turn the dial. Go to your safe space. Go to your bubble, right? Go to a nice, safe, and cozy internet chat room, perhaps, but not mine. Complete with the kinds of people who have ducked their head in the sand and won't even, well, they won't even realize that. And they refuse to even realize the truth if it hit them between the eyes. You need to go about your business. Repeat the mantra, ignorance is bliss. Eat your tacos, your slice of pizza, and drive around town aimlessly, wasting $5, $6, or $7 per gallon gasoline. It's okay, man. I get it. I totally get it. Or maybe you would feel better watching sports 24/7. Now, I love sports. Don't get me wrong. I played sports. Played football, played baseball, some basketball, street hockey, track and field. But a lot of these guys don't do anything more than watch sports 24/7, and they want to memorize sports stats to impress your coworkers, maybe at the water cooler, as if you are a paid wannabe coach or owner of a sports team, I guess. Perhaps these people would feel better just playing fantasy football while America is in shambles and while Rome burns right now. Well, These are your choices, America. Just some thoughts. Might cause a brain chemical eruption that could result in you feeling a sudden urge maybe to be responsible for yourself for a change. Or even maybe to protect your children, God forbid, from the threatening menace. So many people being caught in dragnets, trying to lure your children to all kinds of sordid things in the dead of night. Well, that's why this show is not for everyone. It was never designed to be for everybody. I knew when I started it, we wanted a lean and mean radio audience. We knew right away the mainstream networks would not call me for interviews. They would view us as this, you know, this independent slash nationalist slash America first radio dude that actually let people speak. God forbid, what a concept. Well, as I said before, we fought wars over this, but we will not have any of that New World Order globalist crap on my radio show. None of it. Have none of it. When I started this show, I started from the ground up, from the towns and cities, farms and ranches, the gridirons of real America. I did not try to capture, steal somebody else's audience, which is so rhino, so 1995, so typical of most radio guys. They're trying to steal each other's audience, trying to steal market share, they call it. I'm trying to develop new, innovative, very powerful market share. Much harder to do, but we've done it. We've done it. It's the whole new genre of talk radio I have pioneered. Most shows, they don't follow this format, and thank God they don't. That's why we're on the cutting edge. That's why we're here. We've lasted, and they have not. Many of them, they come and go, like girlfriends or jobs or friends of your life. People come and go. My dad always told me jobs come and go. Girlfriends and women come and go. Hate to burst your bubble, boys, but the women come and go. They're always looking for a BBD, bigger, better deal. Just the bottom line. And we'll talk more about that on my upcoming Bachelor show in November. Well, tonight we want to welcome South Africa to our listening audience. We welcome you all down there. We're very happy to have you on board. And then I mentioned Greece. Yes, we also have sacked and conquered Greece. Two new countries, the land of Pythagoras. Greece is the land of Alexander the Great, Socrates, Aristotle, and other many great philosophers in our ancient and historical past. Our followers and fans grow exponentially. This show has always had 10% international audience, 90% domestic, which I love. Most shows are not heard by overseas audiences at all. Your Rhino Talk show at the local ABCDY station probably has no listeners on their live stream overseas. We do. 25, now I think 27 countries. Well, as we grow exponentially, as we conquer more lands, like Alexander the Great, the Von Wien Show welcomes South Africa and Greece tonight. We salute you all. So glad you're here tonight. We have a very big show. Now, tonight, when you get on the line in our Halloween special, if you get the chance, tell us a good Halloween story among your other points of view. Maybe you got a good Halloween tale. Maybe you got a, in your past, you had maybe a UFO sighting or a Bigfoot sighting, God forbid. Tell us some good story for the show tonight. We're glad you're here. The Thriller, of course, is the show and our great callers. I bet you never heard that Thriller mix before, made by our studio here, the exclusive Von Wehut Show studio. Well, we know that these satanic globalists dine on the blood of children worldwide. Yes, we know the elite Luciferian globalists and their pedophile network is all over the world. We've talked about that before. That's extremely scary, spooky. But it runs deep in the halls of power, Hollywood, Hollyweird, other places. Well, the deep state dogs of war are trying to instigate World War III to hide their crimes and distract away from their multiple crimes against humanity. A lifetime of crimes against humanity goes on and on and on. These people are sick, demonic, anti-human, anti-Christ trash, all of them. Many in the military-industrial complex, including the state intelligentsia service actors, are possibly complicit. Eisenhower warned us long ago in his famous speech when leaving office, and so did JFK. They took him out in cold blood. They are treasonous, seditious, evil snakes. Yet they have the nerve and the gall to cast their aspersions and judgment on the American people. And with that, let's get to American Scotch in Wyoming tonight. American Scotch, you're live on the Von Ouija Show. Happy Halloween,
How's it
sir.
Going? Happy Halloween.
Doing good.
How's it going, buddy? I'm doing good. Yeah, man.
Did I set that up good or what?
Oh, I love it. I love the whole theme of everything being scary, because aren't we living in the scariest world we could ever have imagined?
Yes.
I mean,
spooky, man.
Here we go.
Scary. Here we go.
I tell you, and like you said, the year flies by faster and faster. I felt like I just was on the phone with you. It was 7 days ago. And every week just it gets more levered up every single week. And
I know.
I mean, this latest video, I'll tell you, I had to put it in perspective to people today. I'm going to repost it on Gab in a second. When Hu Jintao was walked out of the Communist Party Politburo floor a few days ago, people just are like, oh, that's just a bunch of Chinese guys sitting there with a red carpet, and they're going to eat egg foo young afterward, and that's no big deal. That's just a bunch of old Chinese dudes. Screw all that. I don't care. Let me explain something, people. That's like Barack Obama getting walked out of the State of the Union address forcibly against his will while he's tugging on Trump's arm. Hey, can you get me out of this? And Trump smiling and saying, go on ahead there. You got your walking papers right now. This was the predecessor to President Xi. Hu Jintao was the premier of China before Xi Jinping. This is huge. I don't know what it means. All I know is we are every single week, we are in unprecedented territory, uncharted waters, nuclear scares in the Black Sea, nuclear threats between superpowers on the borders of Europe and Asia. I mean, you tell me, man. I'm in absolute disbelief. Absolute disbelief. And forget about the business news. Let's talk about the business news, shall we? Let's talk about Facebook Meta. It's off nearly 75%. 75%. I can't believe
Twitter is
off. Like
it's a bloodbath.
Google is getting just absolutely reamed right now. Dude, I'm telling you, big tech's getting hammered. And they're doing it in a way, Vaughn, that is, it's not too upsetting. It's not too roiling to the markets or to people's 401ks. People are still bumping along. We're still griping about $7 a gallon gas. But you know what? I mean, if you really take the sunglasses off and take a look at this and just kind of shake your head, slap your face a few times, throw on some Aqua Velva, wake up. It's, my God, what is happening 1 week to the next? And it's a great marker. It's like a nice little flashpoint each 7 days to talk to you and just take inventory of what happened the week before.
That's what we do. This show takes inventory of all the carnage and all the damage out there. I'm glad you caught that, American Scotch, because that's what I was talking about in the monologue. You got to look at the positive and the negative on the balance sheet, right?
Absolutely. Well, and absolutely. And I know it's easy to get black-pilled. I know it's easy to prepare and to really prep for everything. And everybody should be doing that. Everybody should be getting their dry good, you know, supply in the pantry like quadrupled. They should get the rice, the beans, the trail mix, quit buying a bunch of frozen food because that electricity may get turned off and all that food's going to rot. You got to prepare. However, there's a lot of good things happening right now, and I don't know what it means. I don't know where it's heading, but all I know is that whatever the old system was where the French banking families, the Rothschilds, the Italian black nobility families, that world is just crumbling. It's just being wiped away, and there's nothing they can do about it. They're losing ground every single week with these countries bailing on fiat and going into gold-backed. You've got all the BRICS. You've got Argentina that's joined them, Saudi Arabia that's joined them, Turkey's going to join them, Egypt slated to join them. There's already rumors that the British sterling, the token sterling, I believe they call it, in Great Britain, is already gold-backed. So we are in some seriously good points along with some scary ones. I guess you really can't have one without the other when you're slaying a dragon like this.
No doubt.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, as far as scary things are concerned, you wanted to mention something scary. I remember 2010, summertime, I was with my ex at the time. We were living up in Vancouver, B.C. And this is a personal observation. I can testify to this. We witnessed seeing full battle-dressed Chinese troops in Stanley Park, Vancouver, B.C. in July of 2010. And they weren't there as teams. Mm-hmm. They weren't there with their Nikons strapped around their neck. They didn't have, fanny packs on and shorts and polos. These guys were in full-blown, the red Chinese sage green uniforms, ready to roll. They had it on. And they were all lined up there in Stanley Park. I mean, it was extremely strange and scary, and I had no idea what the hell I was looking at the time. But now looking back in context, all of these drills and all of these preparations for these countries in different shorelines, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense now.
Absolutely. When Red China invades America, there will be guys that will come out of the woodwork, man, in spades. And they will be behind every brick and blade of grass. And I'll be one of them. Like that movie Falling Down, man. And there will be no mercy to the invaders. Oh, we will clean the streets with them.
He was talking about like you just said, that phrase, behind every blade of grass. And no one knows what kind of savagery is possible until you're going to meet the American patriot that's been threatened. I mean, we're a young country, but this group of guys, and there's a lot of men I know that when pushed back up against the wall, they're going to fight, and they're going to be more of a berserker, savage than even the worst Viking on his worst day. It's going to be something else. So I really hope. I mean, part of me is preparing for the worst, but hopefully I'm thinking, is there any good news here? Because if we are going to have some sort of a good outcome to this, and China is not going to try to do anything crazy like invade, then all more power to it. But like you said, we're prepared either way. This country is not to be messed with. And I think a lot of these countries just think, Americans are fat, lazy, and stupid. And they're not wrong about that in a lot of ways, but they also forget the fighting spirit of this country. They've never tested it. And once they do, it's going to be something the world will never, ever forget.
I agree, American Scotch, and you know what? They're going to see things come out of the woodwork, and this will be legendary. It will be talked about for 1,000 years, and I hope it never happens. But if it does, as I said before in my monologue, this America is where tyrants come to die. It'll be one big mass grave for them. They will come here to die. They better write their obituary and write their will before they come, because they're not coming back. They're going through our patriot wood chipper, and we'll use them to grease the treads of our tanks, as Pat had said. We're not going to put up with it. My people were over here, and they fought every damn war, and they fought the British twice. Civil War, every damn war. World War One, World War Two, you name it. There was a we hunt there in uniform, and many of them. And the Germans can fight, and they can shoot straight. And if you rile up America, most people right now are, you know, they're doing their jobs, right? They're getting paid. We're all trying to enjoy life, right? But there's a thing that I warn people about. If you click on that switch in a man's mind, when, like you said, when he knows, you know, that our backs are up against the wall, you will see a venom come out of him and a resolve that will shake the world. Now,
amen.
The Hopi Indians, American Scotch, up in northern Arizona, other tribes, I like to read some of their prophecies once in a while. They talked about this at length. I know a few of them. And they believe, this is what they tell their people. They tell them verbatim what I'm telling you guys. This is from Indian folklore. It's been handed down for hundreds of years. They say that America will be invaded. They say that our leaders will stab us in the back, and that that the enemy armies will be invited into America. Sounds to me like some kind of a UN army or something. But that's what they teach their people. Now, they don't really want this getting out because, you know, they're still a little pissed off about the American-Indian wars, right? So,
sure.
Not that they want America to be decimated or anything, but there is some, you know, there's some natural ill will there. But they believe the Four Corners area of the Southwest will be the only safe place for them to reside in. While America's fighting, they believe that they will be safe. But they talk about it a lot, the end days of America. They talk about enemy armies coming over here. And they don't talk about it like it's 200 years away. They talk about it like it's right around the corner. In our lifetime, put it that way. Something is going to go down. And I just get a kick out of talking to a few of those guys. And they go, this is what we are taught. This is what is going to happen. These are the Hopi Indian prophecies. This is what people believe. And they've been talking about that in Flagstaff in the Four Corners area for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
When this new nation was going to be built, they said it'll have a good run, and then it will implode and be invaded. And as we get into, God forbid, a civil war, civil unrest, that's always when the country gets invaded, too. Keep that in mind, people.
That's
so
true.
People think that everything will be rosy if they have civil unrest, and if they win, well, that's exactly when you get attacked, historically at least. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but the point remains is what you said. Just stay prepared, keep training, and wish for better days. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
What are your final thoughts to America, sir? Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, in relation to this latest news with the ex-leader of China being walked away, you know, I ask myself in what you just spoke about in context, you know, what are these Chinese soldiers really fighting for? Because we're fighting for our home, for a little red book that's nearly 100 years
right.
old now, and monsters that have destroyed their country. Poverty has never been worse for the Chinese, and disparity and the cost and the quality of life between the classes is worse now than ever. So people are jumping out of windows. If they're not making enough iPhones per day, they're having a bowl of rice. They live in complete hovels. I mean, you know, I just hope that a lot of these soldiers are kind of looking around like a lot of Americans are today, thinking, why are we working so hard for this government? Because it's not working for us at all. And your Hopi Indian analogy is reference is very important, because you know what? Who knows the treachery of the American government more and better than the Native Americans?
That's my point. They know full well, and they have said that our own government will stab us in the back, and they will invite the enemy armies in like a Trojan horse. Well, is it the invasion? Is it the border? Is it the millions of, you know, military-age men coming over here now, perhaps? I mean, this is what they profess. And I think they're onto something.
I think you're right. I think you're right, and that's very it's very astute that they would say something like that, and what a fitting way to include into this conversation. I mean, to listen to that prophecy right now with what we're looking at in current times, that's chilling. It is. It is. It really is. But it's not surprising when you look at this government, and only 250 years barely, it went from all the hopes and dreams in the world to just an absolute, complete, absolute failure in every single way of a so-called representative government. We go from throwing tea in the harbor and all the hopes in the world to a man that's sniffing children and is molesting his own daughters, granddaughters, nieces, any other child he can find. This guy got elected, and you got people defending him being elected into this office, saying that Joe's a good guy. These types of Americans, they're in our way. You are the problem. If you're listening to me and you're a supporter of Joe Biden, you are the problem, period. And that's, I'll just leave it at that, brother.
American Scotch, I like it. I'll leave you with this, too. It gets better with the Hopi prophecies. The Hopi say that when the – and they say it's the Red Snake, which is representative of the communist parties, possibly Russia, but mainly China. They say it will look like 200 million red ants all over America. Not the 200 million troops will be over here, but – they call them red ants, will be scouring the country, and they will be shooting everyone on sight. No mercy. So I know a guy out there in Georgia with 100,000 rounds of ammunition, and I tell people, you may damn well need it, because we're not going to sit here and be somebody's slave or captor and go to a gulag. You're better off fighting.
Never.
Exactly. Never. Because what they'll do to you in the gulag will be far worse than a bullet. American Scots, love you, man. Have a great night. Thanks for calling the show.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
You know it. Bye-bye. Yeah, very interesting with the Indian prophecies of many tribes. There are a lot in northern Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico. Well, while that's going on, we've got people who despise the Republican Party. Karens are out there going nuts. They sound a lot like this. Well, that isn't scary for Halloween. I don't know what the hell will. Unbelievable that Karen there. What a biatch. All right, let's get over to the Gladiator. Paul the Gladiator from his compound in North Phoenix. We talked earlier before the show, sir. You're getting your ranch ready for Armageddon. Tell us about it and what's going on, my friend.
Yeah, you got it. Armageddon, man. And anybody shows up to touch any piece on that property and any animal on that property goes down, gets buried, nobody finds them ever again. So,
Yes. Godfather style, I will help you.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I already dug two really deep holes, and somebody said, well, what are those holes for? And I said, I haven't figured it out yet.
Great answer.
That's all I said.
Great answer.
They,
love it.
Yeah, they looked at me like, and they're in the back of the property. I go, yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be for drainage or what, but I figured, you know what? I had the pickaxe and the shovels in my hands, and I was like, yeah. And I figured they're big enough. I have concrete. I have plenty of dirt, plenty of manure. It'll just compost in, and I don't have to worry about it. Don't show up in my property.
Right.
You know?
And it could be a pig farm.
Yeah,
that's scary enough.
My property with some sign, you know, with some 100 signatures or 10 million signatures you need for somebody that runs on a blue ticket, because you could get put in a ditch.
That's right.
Yeah, this is getting crazy. But, interesting to note that I had a conversation last night, and I was telling somebody, a friend of mine who lives in Baltimore, I had a conversation with him, good friend of mine. I used to go visit him and his wife. We used to take Amtrak from New York down to Baltimore, and I said, you know, do me a favor. I know you go into D.C. once in a while. Can you do me a favor? And can you drive down to K Street and just get a visual on it? Send me a picture in the phone, whatever you can do. Let me know what's going on down there. Let me know if you're able to drive down K Street, park on K Street. And he goes, why? I said, well, I'll tell you when you send me the info, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember the press secretary about 2 months ago, she looked to the right wall because all the reporters were looking left at a blank wall. There was no White House staff sitting against the wall in the press secretary's room. And she turned to them and she said, we will hire new people soon. And one person said, well, what do you mean? Everybody's leaving the White House? Like, everybody's quitting? And she didn't give an answer. And the conversation last night, I said, you know, if you don't already know it, 70% of this administration's employees were 2008 to 2015 under Barack Obama's control. The same people all the way up to Yellen and Powell, all they did was flip Treasury job and Fed chair job, which really isn't a government job because they run the Federal Reserve for the 12 wealthiest families in America. But, and that's the Rothschilds, the Vanderbilts, the Carnegies, the Morgans. It's that those big families.
Right.
But the president gets to appoint the Fed chairman. But he doesn't work for the president. He works for those 12 families. That was part of the deal that was made when the Fed was created after they bombed the Titanic and destroyed the three bankers holding it back that were American bankers.
Right.
But, yeah, so I said, 70% of the administration was all under Obama. I said, and Obama's running the Black Lives Matters building, and where's the Black Lives Matters building in Washington, D.C.? What street? K Street. So my friend goes down to K Street, and there are armed guards driving down K Street now.
Hmm.
And
interesting.
He said, I looked down the street, and there was not – he said, I couldn't take a bicycle and park it in between two bumpers of a car. There was absolutely zero space. No space at all. Double parked. Like, in front of that building was, like, quadruple parked. You couldn't even pass the road.
Hmm.
And I said, interesting. And he said, well, why is this going on? Why did you ask me to do this? And I said, because Barack Obama's running the administration from the Black Lives Matters building on K Street because nobody's at the White House. There's no traffic. There's no people driving in, walking in. Nobody's working there. Joe Biden gets up at, 1 o'clock in the afternoon after he goes to bed at, 8 o'clock at night, gets up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, walks over to the podium, reads his card. Okay, so I need to read the teleprompter. That's the thing in front of me. All right, let me read the teleprompter. Right? He reads it, and then it says, turn around and walk back to where you came from. Do not answer any in bold, right? So, like,
he's read that before, which is even funnier.
He's read that before
on the teleprompter, and then he eats ice cream.
He's like a four-year-old boy. Yeah, he's a four-year-old boy in his mind because he's had two aneurysms.
Yeah.
He's had two aneurysms and a heart attack. Two aneurysms make you clinically insane in the United States of America, and that's the American Medical Association that says that. And so literally I said, so I said to my buddy Jim, I go, so basically what you're telling me is the president behind the imposter who's running the show because it's his administration 2.0,
mm-hmm.
he's running the show K Street then. Why would there be armed guards at both ends of K Street surrounding the Black Lives Matters building, and why would there be quadruple parking across the street? So there it is. They don't have to hire anybody
yep.
else. They hired everybody. They hired everybody that worked there for 7.5 years and brought them all back. And, of course, they're not going to take any freaking instructions from Joe Biden. It's all coming from Barack Obama. So, America, there it is. If you have any friends that go into Washington, D.C. at all, that live in the surrounding area, have them drive down and see what my friend saw. And my friend's a very reputable person. I've known him for 25 years. Nope, longer, sorry. 32 years. And
wow.
And I went down for both of his babies' births. And so he's not going to lie to me. He's not going to tell me nothing that's not real. He's
right.
a patriot. And he was like, yeah, he goes, basically, now that you say that to me, yes, I'm going to tell you that's what's going on because that's what I basically saw. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he's vetted. He's a made man of the neighborhood. Everyone respects him.
Yeah, and so that's what's running the show now, America. It's Barack Obama 2.0. It's him specifically. And nobody's at the White House because they're all at the Black Lives Matters building taking their marching orders directly from Barack Obama. That's it.
Yep.
So,
scary.
And it's no wonder our country's in economic shambles because that's what he did to the country from 2008 to 2014 before the Republicans took over Congress in 2014. That's when they took it over. They started stopping all the bullshit that the Democrats were doing, and they started implementing their own non-presidential needed, right, recourse against what they destroyed. And then when Trump got in there, you know, I can't believe the rhinos blocked like the wall and other things, but
mm-hmm.
at least they were able to get the economic package rolling. And then President Trump said, you know what, screw these guys. I'm going to do it all by presidential order anyways. They're not playing ball with me. And he straightened out our economy, you know, all the way through, you know, 2019. I mean, you know, December 2019, January 2020, I was working 32 hours a week, pulling down, you know, 70 grand, like 32 hours a week, 4 days a week.
Yeah.
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 It's insane.
Under Obama,
yeah.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I remember 2008, 2012, it took, oh, my God, that was just decimating, eviscerating the economy, millions out of work. I remember a time when nobody, people were calling, blowing up my phone, hey, do you know anybody in the country who's hiring? I knew guys that were applying to fast food places, not even getting an interview at Arby's or McDonald's. Nobody was hiring for a while. It was eerie, man. Real eerie.
Right.
And everything just stopped for about 6 months. Eerie silence. Nothing was moving. I remember that very, very well. And if you aren't prepared,
yeah.
folks, with money, you know, get some savings, get some things you can sell, whatever you need, go to a pawn shop, get some money to pay your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, whatever. When tough times hit, they're not going to warn you. It's just going to hit. Never forget that. You will not get
right.
an engraved invitation to the destruction. It's just going to happen. That's why we prepare. That's why my dad had a great phrase, Paul. When times are good, you live well. By all means, save your money. So when times are bad, you've got some money, you know?
Right. And then I love how this is a twisted fact. So, first of all, there was more jobs created under Donald Trump than any president previous, okay? but they were jobs when he built the economy down, all the way down to like a 2.7% unemployment rate, right? Now,
right.
Joe Biden comes out the other day and he said, well, I've created more jobs than any president in history. And it's like, wait a minute, Joe, you didn't create jobs. Every job in America was stopped for the frickin' pandemic, you dummy. So when you say that, even the Democrats cringe because they're like, hey, you really can't say that, Joe. I mean, you know, when 300 million Americans have to stop working and 7 million jobs are created, that's really not you. That's just the market saying, well, we're back to business. Okay, we got to hire people. You didn't create those jobs.
Right.
Those were redo of old jobs that were shut down completely. You didn't create any freaking jobs, Joe. Stop it. And they got to stop this lie. Somehow the Republicans have to say, hey, the pandemic shut everybody down. Nobody created any jobs. Stop this shit. Well, yeah, well, I created, like, there's more jobs now than whenever before. Like, yeah, there was fucking
right.
No jobs, Joe. There was zero jobs. Like, nobody was working. If somebody went outside, they grabbed their broom and they started sweeping the street, right, in their neighborhood, and the city came by and gave them $50. You didn't create that job. That person just went back to work. That's all that happened, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope the Republicrats can get ahead of that one well before the 2024 election. Somebody's got to be smart enough to say, you know what, we need to kill this soundbite because it's a bogus soundbite. It's not reality. It's not truth. You know, it's a fantasy. And it's going to be interesting to see who can get in front of that.
I agree.
And then did you hear the Lindsey Graham statement where he said, well, if we win back power in the House and the Senate, which we should do, then Jim, I forget, he's a real staunch supporter of Donald Trump, House Rep. Jim from Ohio, I forget his name, but he's up for
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordan. Head of the Judiciary Committee, he's in line. He would be the head of the Judiciary Committee because he's a ranking Republican now. And Lindsey Graham said, if Jim Jordan, chair of the Judiciary Committee, we're going to personally witness thousands of people walking to the Golden Gate Bridge in California and jumping off the edge.
Do it! Do it, I say. Yes.
Yeah.
Do
and
it.
Then the media, and then the media says,
I call that bluff and I will raise them.
Right. And the media says, you know, 40 people fell to their death last year on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Too bad.
Like, no, they didn't fall to their death. They jumped to their death. They jumped,
right.
You idiot.
Let's get that straight, you leftist prickos. Jeez.
That's right. And then I said, well, isn't Nancy Pelosi from around San Francisco? Maybe she'll be one of the thousands that jump. I was like, so.
Right.
Yeah. Good for you, Lindsay. You
know? Well, you know what? That's pretty scary for a Halloween show. That's the perfect way to end that segment. Can you imagine?
Man.
I mean,
the witch,
oh, my God.
It'll be ding-dong.
Unbelievable.
Yep. The Wicked Witch, the Wicked Witch, ding dong, the Wicked Witch is dead.
Like the Wizard of Oz, that little Wicked Witch, oh my God, with the green face. What a scary,
Nancy Pelosi,
scary
man.
Witch.
Nancy Pelosi
witch
has a
bitch.
Green face, but she just wears makeup over the green. That's all Nancy does. She puts
I think,
makeup on every day.
I think Nancy Pelosi starred in the Wizard of Oz. She's that old. She probably starred in that show. She's 200 years old, drinking adrenochrome, Paul, and drinking the blood of children from all these satanic rituals we hear about. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. Allegedly, of course. Allegedly. We don't know. We have no proof. We have wild imaginations on this show. That's all.
Right. She may have starred in The Wizard of Oz, and they made her up really well in the makeup room because she never looked better than when she played Toto in The Wizard of Oz.
That's a good one, man. Paul, thank you for calling the show, my friend. The Gladiator, folks.
One last thing. I didn't know that they could make a rat look like a dog as cute as Toto, but those Hollywood people, they can't make – if they can make Nancy Pelosi look like Toto, that rat she is, they're pretty good at their makeup talent.
No doubt. Thanks, Paul. Doubt. And she loves ice cream, too, by the way. She and Joe have that in common. Ice cream fanatics, man. Great call from Paul the Gladiator there. North Beach Compound. Well, here's a little Halloween mix. I found it. Thought you might like it.
And now, it's time for sweet songs sung by serial killers on the Keir White Radio Show.
Gum chewing's fine when it's once in a while. It stops you from smoking and brightens your smile. But it's repulsive, revolting, and wrong. Chewing and chewing all day long, the way that a cow does. Oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-da. Keeping good manners, you will go far. You will live in happiness, too, like the oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-doo.
This has been Sweet Songs Sung by Serial Killers on the Keir White Radio Show. And now, it's time for Sweet Songs Sung by Serial Killers on the...
Yeah, we'll stop that right there. The greatest show on earth, The Vaughn Weekend Show, Halloween special. Boy, I don't know what's scarier, that or the Democrats in Congress or the Republicans. Both parties, a two-headed snake, we all know. But get your cocktails, get your crash helmet on, keep all that going. Take a little intro break here. And while we're doing our thing, be thinking about what you want to talk about in the next segment. We've had some scary situations on the show tonight. Some a little bit of everything, but I'll leave you with what's really scary is, you know, the witches, the Halloween, the fire and brimstone, the all that crazy stuff. Well, I think it's all summed up in this song from the late 1960s from the Arthur Brown Band called Fire.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Well, boys and girls, if that isn't scary, I don't know what the hell is. Fire. I love that intro to that. Well, we live in a very strange world in many ways. And there are also many good things in the world as well. Well, this is almost like the Twilight Zone in America. Now, we know that both parties don't represent or advance our interests, do they? Every election cycle comes up, promises are made. Do you see any tangible results, which I'm all about, are results in your life, in your city, in your town, that you opine from? Probably not. Are they advancing our interests? Are they advancing our economy? These are the questions you ask both. We know the Democrat and Marxists are off the reservation, as the Hopi Indians say. But the Republicrats aren't far behind, is my point. We talked about them. These guys that are up there, in many ways, talk a big game. We want them to be better, but they're not really always advancing our interests. Economic, cultural, societal, foreign policy, national. If we do anything, they basically come out at you and they attack. And they join the Democrats in congressional hearings. And they say, they will join them and say, you're deplorable. They want to get rid of anyone that doesn't vote Rhino, Democrat, is a Nazi. They say we got to get rid of the Nazis in the party, which is a broad stroke, broad brush of anyone that doesn't vote for basically the Democrat or Rhino agenda. You're a Nazi to them. Unbelievable. Well, we do live in the Twilight Zone. Imagine, if you will, living in a world where an angry leftist Democrat, purple and pink-haired women, who we see always protest on the news, dressed as vaginas, walking down the street, now want to lecture you, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone else on, quote, human dignity. We've seen that before, haven't we? Unbelievable. Now, this is a segment which I like to call America by the Numbers, to keep you informed in our Did You Know series. Well, America, if you just woke up from a coma like Rip Van Winkle, we're now on day 968 to stop the spread of the virus. Inflation, thanks to the installed President Biden, has now wiped out 1 month of your paycheck yearly and 25% of your retirement. We just gave Ukraine another $80 billion of your hard-earned tax money. We let in 3 million illegals, estimated probably a lot more this past year than we know about. And an ice cream dementia senile patient acts like he is the president. And he says that everything is fine. The economy is roaring and fine. He's never worked a day in his life. Biden has lived off the government dole, taxpayer money, for the last half century or more. Now, remember all the naysayers and the never Trumpers when they said this. The same people who warned us Trump would destroy the economy for his, quote, rich billionaire friends, right? That he would, quote, engineer a stock market collapse to sell everyone short. Heard that over and over in the leftist media. And then they say that Trump would take us one step closer to nuclear war with Russia. And a nuclear holocaust seems completely plausible right now by the fact in this country that Democrat Biden has already done all of those things all by himself. He's not even halfway through his presidency, America. Now, this isn't to say that the Republicans are perfect. I'm just calling attention to the leftist media attack, which I never forget, on Trump. He's not perfect either. But my point is, is that what they accuse Trump of doing, in typical Democrat fashion, they are guilty of themselves. Remember, the Democrats will always accuse you of what they do themselves. Never forget that. It's bad enough. But remember back in the 2016 campaign. And as you know, I like 2016 Trump, not 2020 Trump as much. But we've seen him in action. We've seen him govern. We can now critique his presidency. But back in 2016, when the Democrats made a huge deal out of Trump not serving during the Vietnam War, remember that? They said he had bone spurs, he got all these deferments. Well, what our corrupt media is not telling you is that creepy Joe Biden had 5 draft deferments during the Vietnam era. I researched it. And now the left is very silent when that news became public recently. We all know they were being invaded. We all know that the violent migrants should be rounded up at once. You know, yes, my friend, that we wish for a chicken in every pot in good times, more rock and roll for the country. We hope that happens, but the trajectory might go against that. Things could get very bad. Prepare now. This clown showing over, like I told you. It's going on and on and on. We have this war in Ukraine. It looks more and more like a damn video game. Have you seen these videos that have come out? It's like playing Battlefield 2022. You know, right next door to Ukraine, you got the Dutch, and they're fighting against their government. I said for a long time that we should take some of our military hardware and give it to the Dutch farmers fighting against their own government tyranny right next door. Unbelievable carnage, what's going on out there. It's a lot happening, my friends. We'll get some more calls here. You know it, we always do, after this quick promo.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Love that. A little bit of Darth Vader there. Well, we get Lincoln on from Flyover Country here in a minute.
On a routine transatlantic Zeppelin flight, Olympic decathlete Dieter Goldwitzer was struck by lightning and transformed into...
From Uberman to Uber Hero, the Von Wien action figure will be ready for this Christmas. That's what we're hoping to promote. Got a toy guy who wants to work with the show. We'll see what happens. What's really scary is World War II. The roots of our current problems stem from 1945 Remember it well. Having all kinds of fun in the studio recently. Let's get Lincoln on the air from Flyover Country, from the Missouri Stronghold, somewhere out that way. Lincoln, how are you doing, man? Welcome to the Von Wien Show. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing tonight, Von?
Very good, man. Very good. You're on the air. It's our Halloween show special tonight, my friend, and there's a lot happening, you know? Are you ready for Halloween?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, you know what? I got an easy one for you tonight. I'm not really gonna create too much controversy in your show tonight. I got a pretty easy one. I was actually called in because it's a Halloween show.
Yes.
It's a Halloween show, and I assume that probably a lot of your listeners, I know they're smart people, but a lot of them probably don't know this. The history of Halloween. The history of Halloween is really, really fascinating. It's really cool. Like, when you go back into our, not just our, you know, modern history, but our ancient history on the origins of Halloween and where it started and what it meant, it's really, really cool. I don't know if you're familiar with all that. You're a history guy, so I assume you are, but most people aren't. But it's really interesting.
Yeah, tell the audience.
Well, it started off, Halloween. You know, this is going to sound weird to some people, I'm sure. It started off as the night of Samhain, which was, you know, this predates Christianity, back pre-Christianity and whatnot. It was, no, it's a European holiday. It was known as
right.
The night of Samhain, which is the night when the line between the living and the dead is the thinnest. So, you know, our ancient ancestors back in the day in Europe, you know, they would put out food, you know, treats, a cup of water, things like that, in case any of the dead came to visit. They were told that if you want to speak to your dead ancestors, that's the night when you can reach out and speak to your dead ancestors and whatnot. It was called the Night of Samhain. Later it changed and it became the night called Hallow's Eve, which later turned into Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
It went from the Night of Samhain to the Night of Hallow's Eve.
It was a pagan holiday.
To what we know now.
Pagan.
The westernized. Sure, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely pagan, yes.
Yeah. Europe was full of those festivals, you're right, and they had the pagan holidays, the gods, and they would worship nature. And this is all pre-Christianity. You're right.
You know, it's not even really just Halloween. When you look at all the holidays, I mean, Halloween was Hallow's Eve. It was the night of Samhain. Do you know that? Like, you know, I have DJ and some other people in my Telegram chat that are from Scotland, and you know, like Halloween in Scotland, they call it guising. It's called guising because you dress up in disguises and you're expected to you receive your treat for a song or a story. You tell us a song or a story and you get a treat for it. So it's called guising over there. It's crazy. Like some of these traditions still go on in some parts of the world among some circles, normally the pagan circles and whatnot. But it wasn't even really just Halloween. When you look at other things, like, most people aren't aware of the fact that, like, and I'm not a pagan, okay? I just like history a lot. Well, I might be. I don't know. I'm torn on that one. sort of, you know, like even Christmas. Like everyone knows what Christmas is, but no one really knows that before Christmas there was a thing called Yuletide.
That's right.
You know, before Christmas was Yuletide. Before Easter was Easter, it was, you know, the spring harvest, the spring festival. You know, these things exist predating Christianity, and most people aren't aware of that fact at all. It's really neat. Interesting is fascinating. History is fascinating.
I love that stuff. Yeah, all of our holidays have developed over time, and a lot of them, they all had European roots. And then over time, we developed them and added things in, you know, a little bit here and there. But you're right. Things were, they were big on, you know, back in the day, the winter solstice. You know, they used to worship nature. And it just, an act of nature, right, where the trees look real barren and spooky. And then October, November was always kind of fall. It was like, you know, where the leaves die, getting ready for winter. And it was the perfect time to for them to get together, as you said, have festivals. And, you know, all those tales of, like, the Headless Horseman, Ichabod Crane, all those great Halloween stories all have, they say they all have a kernel of truth in them, you know. So, depends on what you believe, but, I mean, Halloween in this country is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, I heard the retail sales for Halloween, this is hard to believe, eclipsed that of Christmas. Now, not in presents, but in decorations and things of that nature. Pretty amazing.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, basically, it just became, I mean, basically with Halloween, with all these things, whether it be Yuletide, whether it be Halloween, Halloween, whatever you want to call it, you know, all those things basically just became commercialized. I mean, how many kids today even, your average kids, they don't even know what Christmas even means. They just know that they get presents. You know, your kids, they don't understand the history of Halloween or what that night means. It just means that they go to get to knock on people's doors and get some free candy. That's what it means to them. They get to dress up in some outfit. Women get to go dress like a bunch of whores at some office party, dress like a slut.
Yes!
You know, get drunk and sleep with a coworker or some shit. Because Halloween,
I know what you mean, though.
They don't understand the history
the
of
it. The sights are
like,
wild,
you know,
yeah, I will agree.
It's a night you're supposed to be honoring your ancestors, and why has it been turned into peak capitalist profit and go be a drunk whore at your office party?
Commercialism.
This is all we've gotten as a society. It's no longer about our dead ancestors. It's get drunk and be a whore and get some free candy.
That's right. You nailed it. It's right. Get drunk on Halloween, be a whore, and get free candy. America, do your job for once. Gee. No, you're right, man. I mean, I love this stuff because it's fun to show the absurd and the absurdity of a lot of things, but that's the truth, you know? And I will say the thing which crosses the line, they're trying to sexualize the young kids. That's, you know, let the kids be kids, you know? But there's so many weirdos that are out there. You know, if you're a parent, you better be out there watching your kids. Don't let them go to doors unattended. Should be chaperoned, you know, at least to a certain age. Too many nut jobs.
Well, that was
out
even
there.
A thing when I was a kid. Even when I was a kid, when I was a very small kid, I grew up in a very small rural, pretty much on the border of Arkansas and Missouri. Very small town.
Yeah.
You know, even there when I was a kid, and you're talking, I'm in my 40s now, so you're talking, 40 years ago, 38 years ago, in that neighborhood, when I go trick-or-treating, like, oh, my God, the churches would come out every year, and, like, don't take your kids Christmas treating. This is the night of the devil. It's the night of the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Satan works.
I've seen those before. They go nuts.
Sacrifice your kid. Hey, like, don't take your kids trick-or-treating for this night of the
devil.
Devil's night.
That stuff can happen now, right?
I think that was such garbage, really, what these churches were telling us. It's not the
right.
Devil's night. It's the night that our ancestors celebrated their ancestors. It's such garbage.
I know. It was the Halloween, you're right. It was it started out as a way to honor our ancestors, and they morphed it, changed it, tweaked it, commercialized it, Americanized it, you know, and now it's all about costumes and money. You know, get drunk, be a whore, and eat candy, as you said. That just sums it up.
That's pretty much what it is.
Love that.
I mean, like,
well, you got to laugh at this stuff, folks.
Valentine's Day, most people don't even know there was a man named St. Valentine. They just know Valentine's
right.
Day. A bunch of fat single women sit around and cry because they don't have a boyfriend or a husband. And the ones that do have a boyfriend or a husband are ready to jump his ass unless he brings them flowers and chocolates. Unless you spend $200
right.
and a bitch at you. It's all been commercialized. You don't even understand there's a person named St. Valentine. they don't even know.
And
that.
The man, the whipping boy, if you don't do it just right, she's going to freak out. You know, so you guys, you better... You know, you better get the right candy, the right flowers, know what her favorite flowers are, commit that to memory, and if you get it wrong, you'll never hear the end of it. Women have a way of bringing things up 20 years later that you long forgot about, and they will throw it back in your face. In 1978, you did not do this correctly. In 1986, at approximately 11:32 p.m., you screwed up because you're a loser and a deplorable at that. I mean, some guys, you just can't win for losing. This is why men get tired of fighting the whole world. They fight employers. They got to fight their coworkers. They got to fight traffic to make money. They got to fight everybody to make a buck. Fight the competition. They fight foreign wars. When they come home, after all that fighting, it's not that men are weak. They just are tired of the fighting. That's why men, if they're married, they'll say, yes, dear, whatever you say, whatever you want to believe, you believe that the, the tooth fairy is out there and whatever, I'm cool with that. Whatever you say. That's why they just want to go to their den, smoke a cigar, and plot the war campaign for tomorrow. They need 8 hours of sleep, and they can't even get that. Or a quiet room in the house. Jeez. And these women will go, why aren't we married? Well, maybe you nagged your boyfriend too much. Oh, don't say that. Well, truth hurts, baby. You know, if you want a husband, then start acting like a great girlfriend. Remember, you're interviewing to be a wife of your future fiance. Start acting like it. You might get one. You know, if you think he's the one,
well,
you're the one telling him you want to get married. Takes you to tango, but you got to act like you got to act the part.
It goes both ways at the same time.
Absolutely,
yeah, I totally
does.
Agree with what you're saying. Completely agree. But it works both ways as well. You can't be some cuck, you know, that goes to work, comes home, and you want to spend the rest of the night playing video games and, you know, sneaking
I agree.
Into porn, watching porn any chance you get. And then you're sitting watching porn and try to explain, like, oh, sorry, babe, not in the mood tonight. My back hurts.
Exactly. No, I agree. I totally agree.
Either, you know,
you got to stay in shape, guys. Like I always chastise them and go, you got to step up to the plate. If that's what you want, you know, look good, train, be buff. You know, Lincoln's right. You know, your wife needs some loving. You know, love her. Otherwise, you're in the wrong business. You know, it's like. Be a man. Don't be a cuck. God, America's got enough cucks. Unbelievable.
It's full.
But great, great call, Lincoln. What else do you want to say tonight, man? We're live on the air.
The only thing, luckily, man, like I told you, it's an easy night tonight. I went kind of hard on your show the last couple of times, so I got an easy one for you tonight. I just want to clarify for a lot of your callers, because I'm sure I come across weird or confusing to a lot of your callers, because I think I know that every bit of 95-98% of your audience is Republicans, conservatives, and I'm not Republican or conservative.
Right.
So I hear it all the time in Gab, on Telegram, in conservative chats, and I consider your platform a conservative chat, basically. So it gets confusing to people because they assume that because I'm hard on Republicans, because I criticize Republicans, because I say things like I despise Republicans, they assume I'm a Democrat or I'm a liberal. No.
And you're not. I know that.
I despise liberals and Democrats. I'm more hard on the Republican Party because I expect a little bit more from them. I have no faith in Democrats. I don't expect anything from Democrats. Democrats point blank tell me they hate white people, so I don't expect anything from them.
Right.
The reason I'm hard on Republicans and conservatives is, for one, they're not conservative at all. And two,
yeah, I agree. They conserve nothing. I bash both parties. Go ahead, Matt.
Democrats don't even bother to pretend to like me. Republicans are the ones that do pretend to like me and then shove a knife in my back every chance they get. Democrats don't even pretend to like me. That's why I get more mad at Republicans, conservatives, than I do Democrats, because I expect nothing from Democrats. I do expect something
from Republicans.
I feel
the same way.
And they continually bend me over.
Yeah. I'm a nationalist, first of all, and I don't think I've always said is either party is not advancing my agenda or the nation. I'm for America first. I don't think all the Republicans in D.C. are America first. So when I criticize them, and I hit them hard, and I feel the same way. The Democrats are a Marxist party. They're long, long gone. The Republicans aren't far behind them. In other words, they're not our saving grace. Unfortunately, we only get the two choices, really. So we really, I've always said this, we really need a third and fourth party, a big one, big one. But the people that, those things take money, time and effort. I just wish that somebody would win the Powerball and crank it up, because you start looking at banners and bumper stickers, and, you know, pins and, you know, all the things that you need to really have a campaign. It takes money to do all that stuff. So the Republicans talk a big game, and they say, we're for the suburbs, we're for you. Well, great. Hope you are. Many of them are, but many of them are not. You see the way they vote. They will join the Democrats at the drop of a hat. And they'll say, we've got to have consensus. They always bring up that word consent. We don't have to have consensus. We need victory. If you're the party in charge, Republicans, if there is a red wave, do something about it when you get up there. Don't sit back on your laurels, say we won, and we need more consensus with the Democrats. If you won, take over, defeat the Democrat Party, move your agenda and move the ball forward. Don't sit there like a bunch of cucks. You'll be voted out again. Your final thoughts, Lincoln?
Well, that seems to be what happens. I mean, that really seems to be. Let's go back now. Let's go back like 50 years. I mean, isn't the general consensus we have a Democrat, a president, and a Republican, then a Democrat, 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 and a Republican. I mean, we all go back even to, like, we had, what, Ford, then we had Carter, then we had Reagan, then we had, we had Bush one term, but then we have Clinton, and we have Bush again, and then we have Obama. Then it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. and really nothing changes because both parties, there's only, like you always say, there's a very small fraction of difference between the two parties.
Right.
So I just want to clarify for a lot of your callers, because a lot of people get confused. They say, like, oh, this guy bitches about Republicans, so he must be a Democrat. No, I fucking hate Democrats with a passion. I hate Democrats more than you. Just, I want your callers, I want your people, your listeners to know, just because someone is hard on Republicans or trash Republicans doesn't mean they're a Democrat. Just because I'm further right than you doesn't make me left.
That's right. I agree with you. I know exactly what you're coming from and what you're saying, man. Because I'm very much the same. I bash both sides against the middle because both sides deserve it. I am not here to carry water for the RNC. How plain can I make it? I'm not here to curry favor with RNC talking points. This is why I've said, because a lot of talk show hosts have been invited on to national TV shows because I don't do that. I don't lick their boots. How plain can I make it? That's why the Von Wien show will never be invited on to Fox or an affiliate for that reason alone. We're not playing the game. Not playing the game, sorry. To me, we have real integrity on this show and real principles. We're not going to just sell them out because, you know, we're trying to get on the air or something. We're trying to get a bigger market share or a radio deal. That's not my game, you know? And I know, I'm probably shooting myself in the foot by not doing that, to be honest. But I got to do it my way, like Frank Sinatra said, right? I'm not going to lick the boots of people that don't advance my agenda, don't advance America first, don't advance the cause of the people in the suburbs, by the way, who actually pay the vast majority of taxes in this country. People in the suburbs who are white European predominantly, not all, but predominantly, pay the taxes, fight the wars, and are always attacked lately by the government. So screw them. Screw them all. What are your final thoughts, Lincoln?
My final thoughts are this. You said you're America first, and I respect that because I'm a nationalist as well, but I'm more than just a blanket nationalist, I guess. You're America first, and I see no problem with that. You're a nationalist. I'm a nationalist myself. However, I'm a different kind of nationalist. You're America first. I'm race first. Whether you're Scottish or you're in Germany or whether you're in Ireland or whether, because we're the dying minority. We're the dying minority in the world. Is we're white people.
Sure, we are.
Americans aren't dying. White people are dying off. White people are being replaced. Americans aren't being replaced. The American population continues to grow every day. The white population is the one that's dying. So I'm not America first. I'm race first. And as my personal hero, George Lincoln Rockwell, once said, a conservative wants to save his money, a national socialist wants to save his race. And that's where I stand. That doesn't make me a liberal. Just because I'm more right than a conservative doesn't make me a liberal.
I agree. And we have talked about that on the show, and I've tried to explain this to a lot of people that, look, the country started out a certain way without going down a big rabbit hole, and it's nothing what it was or what it was designed to be. We can all agree on that. It's nothing. We've gone so far off the reservation. The wheels have come off the freight train. We are just a complete Tower of Babel with 100 languages being spoken over here, 100 nations invading us, mongrel nations, and they say that's great in D.C. I don't think that's great. I think it's terrible. It's a travesty. The country was not set up to absorb the world. That will never shrink from that position. We cannot take in the world. Lincoln, great call, man. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, you have a great Hallows Eve, brother. And talk to you hopefully soon in Telegram or somewhere. You have a good night,
We
buddy.
Will. We will talk in Telegram. Thank you, Lincoln. Happy Hallows Eve to all out there in Radio Land. Yeah, this is a nation. We talked about that before. It's we all come to the table from a different angle, different perspective, but we cannot, this trajectory that we're on, I've said it before many times, pretty plain. It's not sustainable. It's going to implode at some point. That's why we prepare. It's not to be fear porn or we wish the best for our country. The problem is our country is not what it's cracked up to be. They don't even patrol our borders, for God's sake. They don't care about it. So how can you call us a real country? You know, if you talk to many people and they know, they used to say America has had a few bankruptcies in the past, and we're now a corporation. We're being sold to the highest bidder. We have enemies that salivate, that want our lands. So there's a lot of things that are coming up, a lot of things. But as you think about that and digest that, and as that marinates here on the radio airwaves, we'll play a few promos. We get to some more calls. We've got Irish Pirate Holding and Brett the Surfer, among others.
Batman
and Robin
with exclusive news for KHJ listeners.
It's the Batphone secret number contest presented by Boss Radio.
There's a terrific prize for the first KHJ listener to guess the secret number of our Batphone.
You've seen us answering the Batphone on TV. It's a special hotline Commissioner Gordon uses to contact us whenever there's trouble.
There are 7 digits in the Batphone secret number. Listen to what you'll win if yours is the first correct answer received by KHJ.
You'll visit Batman and me at 20th Century Fox and be our guest for lunch at the studio.
Then you'll ride to the Batcave in the Batmobile, where Robin and I will present you with a 1966 console color television set.
To visit us and win the color TV, just guess the secret Batphone number.
Watch for Robin and me on Channel 7 Wednesday and Thursday nights. And keep it on KHJ for more clues in the Batphone secret number contest.
Well, I want that TV with the Chroma-Vision. Surfer is up next. Are you there, man? Is Brett there?
Vaughn.
Yeah.
How
You're
are
on the
you,
air,
man?
My friend. How you doing?
Oh, good, man. I couldn't hear you for a little bit. Sorry about that.
No problem. Happy
you know,
Halloween.
Yeah.
Or happy Halloween weekend.
Yeah. Yep, we're getting all ready, you know.
You know
it. 7-year-old twins. So, man, we got our house all decked out, and you know, it's pretty spooky, man. But the world right now is pretty spooky, man. It's quite.
It is pretty spooky.
It's scary.
It's pretty scary out there, man. You got it's a very spooky world. That was a theme tonight. I thought, what a great theme for a radio show. We'll do a Halloween show special tonight. A lot of scary things.
Yeah. This has to be one of the
vampires and parasites are everywhere.
Yeah, it's it's just pretty unbelievable, you know. It's I don't know, you know. It's I don't think I don't think we really have precedent for this other than, you know, World War II. But I you know, with the nuclear threat today, I think that's
that's
something
scary.
That we're on uncharted territory, you know, other than Hiroshima, you know, that we did to Japan. But, you know, that was, I don't know, we're just, it's just so uncertain, you know, what's going on over there, you know.
Yeah.
We've got, we almost seem like, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, you know, we almost seem like the small kid on the block now. Unfortunately, I mean, we've got Europe and Canada, the U.S., but, you know, when we look at China, Russia, you know, Saudi Arabia, just, I don't know, all the BRICS, it's just kind of, we've got a lot of enemies out there, you know, and a lot of those enemies have nukes, and it's, and, you know, just kind of a scary situation. Don't you agree?
I do, man. I mean, pick your villain, your Gotham City villain or your situation. Talking about nuclear war, how much scarier can it get? You know,
yeah.
Spooky politics. We have vampires in charge of our government. We've got sick villains all over the world, the globalists, the Luciferian elite, drink the blood, allegedly, of course, of children. Organ harvesting in China of their prisoners. It goes on and on and on. It's a sick world, Brett, but we are the doctors. Never forget that.
Yeah. You know,
we are the surgeons. We have the technology, Brett. We have the technology to fix this world. If, only if you believe.
Yeah, that's it. I really, you know, it's just, you know, the only thing I think when the pandemic started to really, you know, first kicked in, it was kind of like everything was shutting down, and it's kind of like it was hard to imagine that we were in that state. But that's kind of the way I feel now. It's like uncharted territory. And it's kind of like we don't have any experience to really apply on what's going on now, you know, too, you know. So it's kind of the same feeling, you know. But, you know, we're strong, we're warriors, and, you know, we have a lot of hope and faith. And I think that's the important thing, you know, and enjoying every day. And, that you know, that's just the way you should live anyway. But even more so now.
Right.
You know. Seize the day.
So are you surfing off the coast of the Black Sea tonight by Transylvania?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the new surf spot for Halloween?
Yeah. I was at a flag football game for my boys on this little team, but I looked up in the sky. It was just after dusk. Or at dusk, and from California, there was just, it looked like a meteorite, but actually, I really thought, was that a rocket, a test rocket or something, or was it a meteorite going across the sky, way in the western sky? But what he had told me, my cousin, when I sent him a text, did you see that? Was that a, you know, some kind of rocket or a meteorite? And he said, no, it was Musk, Elon Musk. Had sent up like 53 satellites, so it might have been one of his satellites coming from California, you know, shooting up into space. I've never seen that before, but it looked like a meteorite or something, you know. But that's kind of Halloweenish, you know, for your show. It was quite the sight tonight. Plus, with this nuclear threat, you know, I'm kind of looking up there with some other parents and just and the kids, you know, they stop the game, and you know, it's kind of, you have that thought go across your mind and say, well, is this it, you know, is this the,
well,
is this the nuke, you
is
know,
this the end,
yeah,
as
you know,
Jim Morrison
like
says, is this the end, my beautiful friend? Yeah
and you know, if it was the end, you know, hey, you're having a great time, no matter what it is, you know, watching kids playing football
what I say.
Or whatever you're doing, man, make sure you're doing the thing that you love to do, you know. Maybe it would be your last day today. You know, none of us right now.
Well, me and Lincoln summed up All-American Holidays as get drunk, be a whore, and eat lots of food and candy. That really is, you sum it up, All-American Holidays. Christmas, Valentine's Day, July 4th, Halloween. Wear your costume, drink merrily, be a whore, and eat lots of good food or candy, sweets. No matter what the holiday, that would fit for every American holiday. Seriously. No, it's not, again, Brett, it's not that there is anything wrong with that now. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Don't want to offend anybody out there in Radio Land, God forbid.
Yeah.
That'd be a first.
And So I think that kick up the drinking and whoring, and you can still have a great holiday.
Yes. Drinking and whoring made America great.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest. The guys that carved the West were not ultra boys, okay? The guys that came out West were the hard guys that didn't really fit into the East Coast polite society. They said, screw this.
Yeah.
We're going out West. There were whorehouses. There were saloons, bars, gunfights at the OK Corral, horse and cattle rustling, the 49ers. You had Indian wars raging, the Apache, Navajo. It was not for the altar boys from back east. It was for the rough and tumble. The men that really built the West were not prim and proper altar boys. So, that's the fact.
That is. And that's.
And we were there, Brett. We were there in spirit, my friend.
Of course.
And in body and mind.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Well, be careful on Halloween. Have a good time. And
I will.
You'll have a good time with your kids and your family.
Yeah. And you know, I'm gonna be heading to the beach here soon, so I want you to rock on, and I happy Halloween and God bless us all, you know, with you know, what's going on here. You know, I'd like nothing more than just to hear that we're back to the old days, you know, maybe without this team, you know. But you know,
were you here during the monologue when I talked about that pickaxe wielding crazy demonic lady in Pasadena, California, who used a pickaxe on her neighbor's front windows? I'll send you that picture to you and to Irish Pirate tonight in the Gladiator. It's pretty freaky, man. Really is.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people just losing it, you know.
They're tense.
Whatever,
they are.
And, you know, I don't know if it was because of the pandemic, because of all that situation, and plus now this kind of tension, what's going on with inflation and everything, if that's just kind of starting to push people over the edge, you know. Just you have to be defensive wherever you go now, you know, be aware, because, you know, things may get really, really rough coming up here, so. Right.
Well, they could. And this is when times are relatively good overall. People are doing this. Can you imagine if things were to get really bad? That's my point.
Yeah.
They're doing this stuff now with a $31,000 Dow, jobs everywhere. Everyone's hiring. Yeah, there's high gas prices, other things, but things are, you can still walk into a grocery store and buy food. The food's there.
Exactly.
It can be expensive. At least it's there. I mean, we're seeing these things now. Did you hear about the big shootout in Philadelphia in the streets? AK-47s today?
Yeah.
Over 50, 60 bullets were spent. That's happening daily in America. Daily. Crazy.
Yeah, just it's yeah. And that's not with empty shows. Huh. Can you imagine when that or a shortage of water?
Can you imagine
something like
right?
You know. So you know when there's that old saying that the friendly facade is a very thin veil. What you know? Where you're, hey, how you doing?
That's
I'm gonna kill you, man. No.
It's, civilization's you know, it's, very thin veneer. Thin veneer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can be cracked at any time. Okay, thanks, man, for calling the show. We appreciate you, man. Keep surfing
all
that
right,
wave,
man.
Brother. All
I
right.
Will, man. Thanks, man. Take it easy, Brett.
You bet. Brett the Surfer, surfing the Halloween wave. He sounded like he was in a submarine in the Black Sea. Maybe to surf something, but we'll get to a few of these Halloween promos. Hot rods to hell.
These kids will try anything for kicks. A hopped up car. An innocent girl.
I don't want it to be like this.
Hey, just don't play games with me.
And maybe even murder.
Just stand there, chicken. Don't move.
They call him Duke. He uses girls the same way he uses cars, for kicks.
Get lost, Ernie. You think you can handle him? You're just a kid. You think I've never kissed a boy before?
Is that what you want, to wind up in a motel room with any man?
All you think about is me getting married. What if something happens to the man I married? What if he gets to be like that?
Oh. They're trying to kill us, Peg. Got to do business on their terms.
Step back!
No limit. No limit. No limit.
Run him off the road, Duke! Run him off the road!
Day and night, night and day, these kids will try anything for kicks.
The kids will try anything for kicks. That's why they listen to the Von Weehead Show. You know, it's true, America.
You will meet her at night in a dark place. She's beautiful, and she'll be waiting for you, waiting to love you to death.
Ah!
The Velvet Vampire. She'll love you to death.
And on the same bill, this second horror shocker.
What was the strange secret which lay concealed behind the forbidden doors of the Castle of Blood? The scream of the demon lover. It may be the last sound you hear.
God.
Before you go berserk, a nightmare of suspense pushes you closer and closer to your shock limit as Joan Crawford finds menace in every shadow, fear in every footstep. Berserk, the picture that pits steel weapons against steel nerves.
It's becoming a nightmare. I keep wondering and thinking, who's next?
The big question is, can you take it? You see Berserk at your own risk. Berserk in Technicolor.
Gosh, like the Von Weehead Show in Technicolor. Enter the Radio Octagon at your own risk, America. Let's get to the Irish Pirate. Our tech wizard, full of wizardry and other tales from the crypt. How's it going, sir? How are you doing tonight?
Well, I can tell you this. People want stuff that's really scary. I think I was even buying gas today, and they were doing things like putting strange, ghouls and weird-looking, freaky things out in the open. And I'm looking at that going like, I don't think I want to worship him. I think actually I'm alive and he's trying to worship me. I noticed that they had all these cones and stuff out.
Right.
When you buy gas at these stations that also are part of the grocery stores type of thing, they're trying to cram so many retail items into your face that they now actually have it so close to the gas pumps that they have to cone you off so that you don't actually block it so other people can't buy, you know, overpriced cookies or something.
I've seen those. I mean,
Well, yeah,
pretty
they're
funny.
Literally cone you off, though. I mean, yeah, that's hilarious to me. But I think it's
so you
got to
corner you
thing,
off
though.
The gas station.
To keep you from stopping somebody else from buying because they know you're just going to sit there and stare at it.
Right.
One of the weirdest things I noticed this week, I've come up with a little analysis on my own. It started when Kanye West had the scariest thing in the world happen to him. He lost $1.6 billion dollars basically in a day. I mean, first you got to have $1.6 billion. He actually had $2.5 billion, something like that. Now he's got $400 million to his name. And most of us wish we had $400 million to our name. But the hard part is he tried to play basically the black card against the Jewish card is the way that they tried to explain it the best. And the interesting part is, I don't know if this show has actually gone into trying to define all that, but we do not here in America, especially if you're watching mainstream media, we don't even know what white or black or anything like that is. And in fact, there is a definition in the Bible about what is Jewish. And for whatever reason, nobody's following that one either. And of course, the Jewish people never did either. Early on, you know, in the Old Testament, the Bible, even themselves didn't follow that definition. I find that fascinating. God tells you, you're my favorite people because you have a heritage. And I want you to be able to bring my son. And then they turn around and say, well, it's all about the heritage.
Right.
They totally didn't get it. And this is America today, the same way. I mean, if somebody was actually saying, we're going to give you the freest nation in all of America, and all you have to do is find a way to keep it, according to Benjamin Franklin, then they turn around and are like, well, we're free to do whatever we want. Yes, unfortunately, that's true. And we don't even know what Jewish is. But yet, if you offend the quote-unquote Jewish, which they try to say
God forbid.
Soros is, they try to say Soros is Jewish, but he's not. He's Kittite. He's a Kittite. It's not a Jewish lineage at all. But the main thing is the Bible says that Jewish is followers of Jesus inward, right? In other words, inside of you is supposedly the Holy Spirit. It's what they call it anyway. Has a lot of other definitions, I suppose. But the important thing is that it's supposed to be within you. And God can see that. You know, he's on another dimension. It isn't hard for him to see that you're thinking like that and acting like that. And so the interesting part is you could have – right now we're assuming that everybody that's Jewish has Israeli lineage. And that's not true. You know, I mean, it's kind of like saying everybody from Africa is black. I mean, a lot of South Africans are white. Sorry about that. Obama, according to the news agencies back in the day, say, well, we're calling him black, but he's only 6%. Like, wow, that must be nice, you know, getting into the club without that much of a ticket. So I don't know what black is. I don't know what white is. And it's not because I can't see race. It's because I don't understand everybody else's definitions of what that is. So I just kind of play along. I'd like to think it's cultural, but that's not working either. I mean, wow. Talk about that's one of the scariest places to live in. That you're looking at things and people can't even define them in such a way that you can even go along with it. Because it's so confusing. We're afraid of a virus that you can't see, doesn't exist, and even if 10,000 people died, we still can't pile up enough of it. But it definitely travels through the air and does whatever it wants. I'm going like, ooh, that's really spooky to me. I think it's actually fictitious,
right,
though. I mean, maybe there are vampires. Maybe there are ghosts. But there definitely are not viruses, if that's all you got. You're going to have to show me something more, because this ain't working. And it's kind of interesting,
right,
because they're still talking about locking you down. and that's, you know, that's kind of spooky, too.
Sure.
Like, don't you at least have to find a threat first, be nice? Or are you just going to be weird and say, well, I own the science, I am going to lock you up? And I don't think that's going to work either.
I am science. They even say that. I am science.
Boy, you...
I've heard that
you
one.
You guys are really weird,
she said
man.
That. I am science. I am science.
So,
oh, my
like,
God.
Maniac. I'll write the president and say, hey, I'm scared to death. All these people don't know what they're talking about. And then I realize who I'm writing to. That's not going to work either. So
right,
you're kind of stuck. Oh, and of course, how's this one for you? I just found out the New York Supreme Court turned around and did something smart. They ordered a bunch of New York City businesses that got came down on by the municipalities out there to say, if people don't have shots, which of course, you know, how can you make them tell you? I have no idea. They fired a bunch of people because, you know, you would not vaccinate with this experimental junk. And they turned around and said, you know what? There wasn't enough science. And so, therefore, you have to rehire them now at back pay. How about
right,
them apples? That's pretty scary if you
own
a business over there and they leaned on you.
Sure.
And then you turned around and fired them because they told you to. And then they just turned around and threw the floor out from under you. And it's kind of weird. There
right,
can't be a winner in that game. There just cannot be a winner.
Well,
I mean, whether it's the people
I agree,
that don't
man,
get to work.
Yeah, and getting
yeah,
back to Kanye West for a minute and the Jews, this is like the elephant in the room in America. Everything's on the table on my show. And the thing is that, like Voltaire, the French philosopher, once said, you know who controls the nation if you're not allowed to criticize them. Kanye made some remarks about the Jews. All hell breaks loose. It's widely known they bruise easily like a grape, and they cut them off. Now, talk about a tribe in action. They cut them off, right? Adidas sacked and
yep,
fired. He's lost, you know, a lot of cash. And look, my thing is, all these companies railing against him, he's just saying things. And actually, they are furthering their stereotype of themselves. Because
yeah,
now everyone thinks you
back,
control the media. You control the banking finance. You control corporate America. And then when they do what they do, like controlling corporate America, corporate Europe, et cetera, it feeds into the stereotype. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, and so
I
my thing
hilarious,
is,
I mean,
it's hilarious. But, it is. But it is true. A lot
yeah,
of what he said is true.
Well, unfortunately, first of all, by actually reacting like they did to his own statement, they proved it, which I think is hilarious. And
right,
they're turning around and taking his money away. The second thing is we just call it like, well, what is the actual, you know, these people are basically saying we're Jewish. And the answer is, I hate to say this, you're not. So don't be offended by the fact that he called
that's
you
right,
Jewish and in control, because you're neither. I mean, if you have
that's
to
right,
censor people, number one, that means you're not in control. You're actually trying to use what control you have, but he still has this opinion, and he still doesn't believe in you. That's not control. Control is when you can prove that you are superior. And we've seen,
that's
for
right,
example, what happens in Hollywood. We've seen the math of the central bankers. We've seen the idiocy of these people that are claiming that over centuries and with kingdoms and everything. No, they look like they're further and further desperate, and they're pressing the red button faster and faster for all the emergencies because they can't handle that. Nobody likes them. Nobody believes they're capable of leadership, et cetera, et cetera. And all he did was say, you know what? It's still true. Well, all this stuff, what we really think you're stupid for, it's still true. And I'm just want to whisper there, and you're not Jewish either.
Right, right. You know your history. People that it's been scholars is what I love to quote. They have said that the Jews of Israel, many of them have barely less than 1% Jewish blood from the original 12 tribes of Israel. What you see in the world today in large part are what's called the Khazarian Jews. They came out of Eastern Europe, South Russia. They adopted Judaism back in the day, in the Middle Ages. Most people don't know this. They were not from the 12 tribes of Israel. It's scattered, right? This, they're called the Khazarian Mafia, the Khazarian Jews. They immigrated to Palestine. They thought it was free land. And they, over time, they are what people now call Jews. But it's been done with the DNA evidence that the Jews in Israel, though they call themselves Jews, they look like Jews. They have a lot of the Jewish traits. A lot of them have less than 1% actual Jewish blood from what I've read and what I've seen and many, many, many exposés about this, many documentaries from all sides. It's an amazing thing, but that's where we're at. And so Kanye can get out there and talk about it. And what happened to him is so stereotypical. It's actually kind of funny. He gets banned
and
censored. Cancel culture kicks in.
Here's a really good one for you, Bonwee Hunt. I don't know if you've ever heard of a church, shall we say a group, called the Alliance, where their belief is that there's the Great Commission. You need to go out there and tell everybody about the good news of the gospel. And so if you remember, it was Jesus that said the best thing you can do is leave Jerusalem and go out as far as you can.
That's right.
And tell the story far and wide. Okay, here we are. It's 2022, and the Alliance still exists. They believe in the Great Commission. Yeah, they're out there working really hard to try and learn new languages, talk to brand new peoples, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's what's so funny. About 20% of the landmass, according to them, has not heard of the gospel. Well, guess where that 20% is? I mean, think about this. If you were to draw a little dot at where you think the Garden of Eden might have been located, and then you do a little radius of a circle that's one-fifth of all the Earth's landmass, that's the part that still, according to them, hasn't heard the gospel yet. The closest 20% to where it started. It's amazing.
Right there in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you were to go to, nearly Antarctica and all those countries that are as close to it, or to the Arctic and all the land masses that are closest to it, they've all heard of the gospel. But for some reason, where the gospel actually got its story from, people have completely and totally forgotten.
That's
just as crazy as somebody saying, I'm Jewish, when they're not. I mean, how are you going to find the truth if even where the localities, supposedly where people got their lineage from, disappears with the stories that were told? It's amazing.
Right.
How are we supposed to learn stuff when people, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm an adopted child. I'm not much for lineage. I consider anybody who's actually made something of themselves, it makes the rest of their lineage at least look like they gave you something and you succeeded with it. But more than likely nowadays, since people are not getting smarter and not getting healthier and not getting a lot of things, for you to be able to, and you've got to have read Von Wiehunt's book to understand this, but the ultimate revenge is living well when you're old. And
that's right.
That would be the ultimate revenge, especially now. They're messing with the skies. They're messing with your food and water. The most likely poison in this world now is likely to be given to you in bottled water. Tap water even gets more scrutiny than bottled water, and tap water is atrocious. It's amazing.
Yes.
So where I'm going with this is, what can you believe in? You're just going to have to stick to the principles that you know are going to work. You got to find something to believe in to be. And I would suggest you need to be a man of faith, number one, because certainly you can't learn it all now. I mean, even the people that are putting out disinformation are getting disgruntled over how much disinformation over their disinformation they can't get out into the public because the public is deceiving themselves and they won't listen.
Right.
It's hilarious. And so what do you
It
do?
Is.
And the answer,
it's amazing, man.
You got to find something you can believe in. You got to find, for example, like this show, you got to find where the opinions at least are being given. You don't have to believe every single person that speaks, let alone me. I say, when I give you something like this, look it up. I don't want to be the foremost knowledgeable expert about almost anything. I mean, maybe I want to hang on to one thing, so maybe I could make some money if I want to. But seriously, I'm not that interested. When I put that stuff out, I'd rather be challenged. I challenge everyone I know, sometimes to a fault, and that's fine. I think that I'm actually making them a better person for doing so. And it,
I like
how do
that.
I say this? Yeah, because it's rough. I like to talk to complete strangers just to figure out, you know, what's believable out of what I believe I know. I have to do that, especially if they're at least a couple generations down. I like talking to, like, the 15-year-olds now. It's like, you got to be believing some really strange things. And so I'd love to know what it is you think you know, so I can at least tell you, it's like, well, I'll tell you one thing. I know what isn't going to work. You know, like, for example, we've talked about the age of the earth, or people believe that there's some benevolent guy that actually got into government so that when he gets over the top of you, that he's going to turn around and do nice things for you. I mean, there's some things out there that totally don't work. You work for the man and he's
never
going to take care of just you. Yeah, so all these fallacies are all part of the American dream, which you have to be asleep to accept. And so here we are. It's not the American dream anymore. We just want to survive. If we survive the junk that's coming down now, no matter how scary it gets, thank you, Halloween, then we're going to be asked to rebuild it. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I either get to meet my maker or I get rebuild this and make it right to the best of my ability. Those are my two choices that I only see are the only things worth living for as far as meet my personal self. I plan on doing it with friends and hopefully being married, but that's what I want. And I
sure.
want to, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, ever since you've known me, I've always told you, even when I was absolutely solo, I'm saying, I want to be married. This is stupid. I don't want to be looked at as, you know, someone that could be picked on because he has needs. No. As George Carlin used to say, drop some of your needs. I'm good. I'll try to make it with what I've got. There is no prepper out there that thinks he's got it absolutely sussed. So I'm comfortable that I'm somewhere between him and the people that I'm looking at that have no idea what's going on this planet. You know, I'm somewhere in between. And so there's always hope that, yeah, there's somewhere where I can help out. Because with everybody that's going to die, and a whole bunch of them, if they're not going to die from lockdowns, and they're not going to die from bad food, and they're not going to die from shots, they're going to die from stupidity at this point. So there's going to be a whole lot of room.
No doubt.
Number one, we better start learning what they already didn't get a chance to learn, if that's where it's going.
Right.
Or there's professionals out there that got coerced into getting shots so they can keep their job. Well, they're not going to keep their job very long. It's not because they're not good at it. Because they won't be able to do it.
I know.
Even if they live.
Iris Byron.
Even if they live.
Thank you, sir, for the great call tonight. And happy Halloween to you and to yours, man. We will talk again soon, and we need some fun things before January, before the holidays. I know you're busy.
Well, I'll say this, Bonnie.
Try to crank out a couple for us, man.
I'm going to get busy enough I'll be able to drop you the fun packs because I've now been coerced starting this Saturday. I'm going to be working almost 3 weeks straight. That everybody else is on vacation. It's going to be me every night. And that will at least give me the rhythm to know when I'm going to be home. And then I can start serving people and giving them whatever it is that I've been too busy to be in the same place at the same time. I'm going to be now, whether anybody likes it or not. So I'm here for you, America. Let's get something started. That's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I'm going to definitely
love that.
I'm going to be in front of my computer. We're going to make it happen.
We're going to make it happen. Awesome. Iris Byron, have a wonderful night. Happy Halloween, man.
Thank you.
We will talk again soon. Iris Prater, Tech Wizard. Great, great call there as always. Well, it's getting kind of scary out there. The Wolfman promo is next.
Yeah, I'm still the ghost of the most, babes. You know what I mean? I've been hanging out in this attic for like a long time here, you know, and it's getting pretty old. So I took a trip out in the world, and there's a lot of people burning stuff down and going crazy out there. But even being the ghost with the most like me, I got to have some kind of fun anyway. So I tune in to the Von Wehunt radio show because I know once I finally get my groove on, that's where I want to tune in the nighttime. It's the Von Wehunt show. He's almost as cool as I am.
Love that. Well, America, we heard a lot of good calls tonight, a lot of good things. You've heard of the Kanye West news and the press lately in America? Well, Adidas is in the news, and they've cut the bond with Kanye West. But I love my Adidas leisure tracksuit, 1970s-style America. Not only is it comfortable, it also pisses the Democrats off. In the movie Goodfellas, Henry sports the Adidas Mafioso tracksuit while in club-fed prison, complete with wine, liquor, steaks, and lobster, of course. I am now hearing that the militant leftist Democrats hate Adidas, but I dig it. There is a chorus of leftist Democrat outrage against Kanye West. It's growing more and more. As they say, because of that, there's more anti-Semitic incidents that rattle Los Angeles. Unbelievable. As Kanye is facing a growing backlash among California political leaders, entertainment industry figures, and members of the elite L.A. and New York Jewish community have called upon him to basically cease and desist all that he is doing. So he's putting the spotlight on a lot of them and these stereotypes that have been persisting throughout the centuries. They don't like it one bit. Now, the Adidas and Skechers now hate blacks. Skechers was the corporate headquarters that Kanye walked into this week and got kicked out. You just can't make this stuff up anymore, folks. We thought that corporate America, with all their programming and brainwashing, was still all about diversity, inclusion, and equity. I guess not. Well, we'll talk more about all this, more shows. We are a radio variety show talking about a host of topics. Nothing, or if you mean nothing, is off the table. Be safe out there, to all. We want everyone in America to be safe and secure. Enjoy your Halloween weekend. But be careful. It's spooky and scary out there at the same time. We know this to be true. It's the end. Apocalypse Now. It's upon us. Upon our nation. America, good night. We will talk again soon next week.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety.
Good night, America, and happy Halloween.